September 29th, 2013, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to start from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. As you know, Paul was one of the main disciples, the disciple of the disciples, for having written most of the New Testament, like Romans and Galatians. His work and his utmost desires expressed in this verse, which was to rapidly spread the message of the Lord, and also the words to be honored. And he did what he preached and was honored for the work he did in his lifetime, as he also said in the Bible that, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord. We all wish to be able to say that the crown of righteousness is waiting for us. We shall all follow the path as Paul has run the race. As he was saying, spreading God's word was the main purpose of his ministry. And our purpose as a servant of the Lord should be the same. If your purpose is something else, you're missing the point. Unfortunately, there are some folks who are missing the point or missing the mark. Do you know that in the Bible, the word sin actually means to miss the mark? So when people are missing the mark, even in serving the Lord, that makes me wonder if they're also missing the mark in their lives too. So Paul is the model we should all follow as a servant of Christ. And in this chapter 3, Paul also says to imitate me. And if we imitate him, we have to note that Paul was putting the majority of his effort to spread the gospel. Unfortunately, there are other Christians who are missing the mark even in our work for the Lord. One example is that there was a lady who called me up the other day and she complained about the Japanese government that it has recently exercised the death penalty. After she complained about this for a while, she went on to tell me how much volunteering activities she was doing here and there. I don't remember the details, but there are many people like this who are simply missing the mark. Again, I repeat, our focus should be to spread the message of the Lord rapidly and the message to be honored. Of course, we are all different in the sense the positions we have, responsibilities and accesses we are given, and the measures we employ to do the work. But if we are focused on the real purpose, we would not so much miss the mark. This remnant church's mission statement is also to spread the word of God. And I do try to stick with this main objective. That's why we publish articles and messages on the internet and spread the word in a way we can, though we are small in size. I feel that especially the Sunday message have not been communicated wide enough that we also have started publishing the messages on the internet. Of course, the most effective way is to talk face to face. I have also done such work like home visiting, but you cannot visit everyone's home to spread the gospel. I do believe that as long as the message is spread, it does not matter if the gospel is preached in person or by a letter, with audio tape or the internet. Just continue to do the work in a way we could, and if we continue the work, you will see the result. While back, I used to distribute flyers on the street in Fuchu, but it never worked. Then I found out the most effective way was posting the message on the internet. I received many responses because of that, even from abroad. I remember receiving a message from the United States whose email address was something like Bride of Christ, and the person encouraged me and agreed on my message. We also had several visitors came all the way from Yamanashi because they read the posting on the website. Some churchgoer in Yamanashi discovered our website and passed the message to another and to another, and total four of them ended up visiting us one time. They never came back here though. What I'm trying to say is to stick with our purpose, which is to spread the gospel. If you don't know what specific message to say, pray. Most of the time, it is lack of prayer that is hindering your spiritual growth. From my own experience, when you don't have specific message to say, that means you have your prayer life is weak. And keep honoring the message because people are watching you even when they don't seem to respond. You can do it on the internet or you can do it in person. The Lord knows what's the easiest way for each of us, and this is the will of the Lord. And the second verse says, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. Of course, when we do the work of the Lord, there will be wicked and evil people and tribulations. So we have to pray for us to be protected from such people. The third verse says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. As Paul says, the Lord is faithful. As long as we are loyal and faithful to him, he will build you up. Building up means like building a house. When I take a walk and pray, I see a lot of houses being built. First, they build the concrete foundation and put steel frames and supports and place a roof on top. This is how the house is built. When the Lord builds you up and edifies us, he does the same thing with us. So, when we are faced with problems, we can withstand with prayers. This is all for the training, and as long as we are faithful to him with our prayers, we will overcome all the problems, and he will protect you from the evil ones, which means Satan. Please do remember that when we walk as a Christian, we will confront the devil, so we cannot afford to backslide because the enemy is very powerful. If we are sheep, Satan is the wolf, but the Lord protect us, the little foolish ones, and he teaches us on how to handle any situations. The third verse says, the Lord is faithful. Faithful means loyal, and as long as we are loyal to him, he will always extend his hand to help us. But his hand might not be stretched out if you are not faithful to him or start living outside of his will. For that reason, I don't think every single Christian will enter into the promised land. It says in the Bible too that wheat and tares are harvested together and wheat are gathered into the barn, but the tares are burned. But he is faithful, and he knows that we are weak and we fail. But as long as we are faithful to him, he will always help and protect us. If we are forgetful and do not notice the danger, he still communicates to us in a mysterious ways. Like when I left the pot cooking on the burning stove, which happens to me more than once. The verse 4 says, we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. Paul uses the word command because he was in a position of authority to preach the word of God. And he also says that his people do the things Paul commands. It was utterly important that people do the word of God. He writes about people who do not do the word of God. For example, the verse 7 says, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Here, disorderly means not following the teaching. This is the opposite of doing the word of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 warns about those who are not the doer of the word. The verse 14 also says this: take special note of anyone who does not obey your instruction in this letter. Obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Here he says to have no dealing with such people and isolate them, says the Bible. Sometimes we have to think in a way that is hard to comprehend with our human understanding. This chapter is very strict on those who are not the doer of the word, but this teaching is worth protecting, so we want to follow this without missing the mark. Again, verse 4 says, we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command, as Paul says that we have confidence in the Lord. Don't you feel the passion and urgency of Paul? Because it was so important to him. We all believe that God himself spoke in this letter through Paul. And please do remember that we receive life by doing the will of the Lord. Jesus also said to the Pharisee to follow the laws to gain life. Unfortunately, many Christians are missing the mark. I am not trying to be critical or pessimistic, but I have been living as a Christian for 40 years, and this is what I observe. Many just become a talker and become a Christian on the surface, but the Lord looks at our heart, and our life is not to be judged by men like you just show up for an interview with a nice tie. We are dealing with the living God, and one day our heart and deeds will be judged by Him. So we ought to live accordingly, but I see that many cease to do the will of the Lord, unfortunately. But our blessings and life come only by doing the will of the Lord. Sometimes we have words lingering in our mind because they are placed by God. The story often came to my mind was the story of a servant who was forgiven the debt of 10,000 talents, but did not forgive his fellow servant, and his 10,000 talents debt came back to him, and he was jailed till he paid back. Here, 10,000 talents is like 1 trillion yen. The number here is astronomical, but this also indicates the importance of forgiveness. If you are jailed and have to pay back 10,000 yen a day, I cannot even calculate the number of days it will take for you to pay back. It is challenging for me too, since I tend to remember the smallest details, like if my brother pays only 10 yen, it is not right that I have to pay 15 yen. But when people sin against me, I do try to forgive them. I try and live according to the word of the Lord. I don't know if I could live a perfect life, but at least I'm trying. Even in my prayer, I pray for those who criticize me and persecute me. But sometimes, I don't even want to pray for those people. But I do force myself to pray for them, and I don't stop doing that. The prayer is not to bring down the fire, but for them to know the truth. Sometimes, I may not be praying for them from my heart, but as I continue to pray for them, I notice that my heart changes towards them, and I start loving the enemies. I couldn't do it with my own strength, but I feel the Holy Spirit is leading me to this experience, but my doing had to come first. That goes for any word of the Lord. We must first do it. So please do not forget that. The verse 5 and 6 say, and may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Here, disorderly again means those who are not following the teaching of tradition. When brothers are not following the teaching, they would start saying things and doing things that are not the will of the Lord. The world does and says different things. The world wants to say new things that draw attention and spotlight, and not pay attention to the tradition, which always lead to destruction. The same thing is happening in Japan too. Long time ago, the school teacher used to have authority, and the students used to listen to the teachers. But such tradition is long gone. Same thing in the Christian community when it comes to the loss of tradition. People are led astray from the word of God, like not keeping the Sabbath or justifying the homosexuality. There are people who are doing the things that are not the will of the Lord, but operating by the will of their own and causing trouble at every church they go. That's not the will of the Lord, and those are the disorderly people, and Paul commands us to stay away from such people. Those who are actively trying to divide the church and destroy the tradition, Paul says to keep away, instead of agreeing with them, because you would also be corrupted if you continue to keep such company. The verse 7 says, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we did not behave disorderly among you." Here he repeats the word disorderly, and Paul says he never not followed the rule himself. The verse 8, "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some among you who walk disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that they work with quietness and eat their own bread." Here Paul says not to eat bread unless you work for it. Of course, there are people who are sick and bedridden, but if we all have to work in any way we can. If we even try to get money without labor, and if we are asking for trouble, we may not become a millionaire, but if we work diligently, we will never lack food. But there are people who earn money dishonestly and become rich. Such ones are only causing trouble in everyone's life and can never be a witness as a Christian. Here Paul says he has to work while he was also working as an evangelist. This may be a message that we might also have to keep our day job while working as an evangelist. And sometimes it could work for your advantage. If you gather people and preach the gospel and live off from the offering, you start preaching in a way that gathers crowd because you need to eat. So in order to please the crowd, you might end up compromising the message, and the real purpose of being in the full-time ministry is lost. For example, our church preaches radical message, so this is also something we should be mindful. If we rely on the offering, the message might lose the power. I myself have a day job for a long time, and I still do, and I also serve the Lord. And the verse 9 says, "Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us." So we could say that Paul sets an example as an evangelist. Of course, it would be a blessing if your message can bring many believers and you can be in a full-time ministry, but we can never say that we cannot serve the Lord because you don't have enough believers. I also understand the bread in here to be the word of the Lord. And the work here could also mean the work for the church. The verse 8 says, Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. In short, he says not to eat free bread. We all come to church and receive and eat the word, which is the bread. And I think that this passage might be also suggesting that we also have to work for the church in exchange for the word of the Lord, which you receive to eat. And that is only for your edification. And the verse 12 says, Now those who are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that they work with quietness and eat their own bread. Here work means to serve. And the verse 11 says, Disorderly or busybodies people in the church tend to be the one who don't serve. When a church holds a conference, they participate but do not do any facilitating work. You find such people in any church, and they're the ones who are most critical of others, even if they belong to a church that teaches the truth. They can't understand the message. Of course, it is not easy to serve because it costs us time and energy. Listening to the message for free and leaving right after that would be the easiest thing for anyone to do. But not serving the church and being busybody and disorderly only cause division and bring confusion to the church. And Paul says to those people to be quiet and work. But if you serve, you will be blessed by witnessing the truth, and it is pleasing to God. I myself started serving the church when I was quite young. Of course, I witnessed some lazy people and critical people. But fortunately, I was never surrounded by such people. I always felt like I was getting closer to the will of the Lord through my work. So I do believe serving the church is also an important thing. But you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word in this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. As the verse 13 says, there are always those who criticize you, but the Bible says not to agree with those brothers, rather to separate yourself from them. Paul says to especially pay attention to those people and separate yourself from them. He does not say to expel them from the church, but to isolate them so that they would be ashamed and may realize their selfish attitude. So in any situation, we should not rely on our human understanding, but rather obey God's command. So do not actively mingle and agree with those people in the church. In today's day and age, there are many people like that in the church. Those who say what they want to say and do what they want to do, but not serve the church and do not follow the teaching. To those people, Paul's message is very severe. Do not accommodate such attitude in the church, because if we are not clear on this issue, the entire church will suffer. Like in the Bible says in James, great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And it says in the verse 15, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. It says to admonish him, which is not to punish him. You have to warn him. This is the word of the Lord that is expressed throughout the Bible. And the verse 16 to close. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all. This salutation of Paul is with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle. So I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.